Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the 25th annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. 43 groups have come out today. A really good year. They're going to raise thousands of dollars for the youth programs, all in the memory of Truman H. Purdy, the Purdy family. Adam just came through here just moments ago, about maybe 10 minutes ago, and they have once again done a great job to help out the community. So we welcome everyone to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, where our group played this morning, and to our credit, went out and shot ourselves a 200 par 70. Not bad on this particular day. Sean, we had a great time today. You were missed out here.
Appreciate that very much. And yes, when Jennifer Wakeman got back into master control here at Blue Hill, she was just beaming.
It was
about
fun.
The performance that you guys did today on the course.
She played terrific. She dropped two birdie putts today. Her shots off the tee were a huge help. Dave Ritchie played really well, had an unbelievable shot on the par 3 third hole that's adjacent to 11 and 15 over there. Put it to within about 18 feet, 10 inches of the hole, and Jen's the one that dropped the putt.
It was a team effort, wasn't it? It was quite the team effort.
It was. And we had a lot of laughs, a lot of fun today. I mean, Jen, you had a good time.
I had a ball. I was actually completely stressed out about this until I figured out it was a scramble. I was like, oh, I only have to hit one decent shot. I'm good. Red tees, baby. Red tees all the way.
We love the red tees when we see that opportunity. And suddenly out of nowhere, we're 50 yards further down.
You're welcome.
Then, and thank you. And then there was the incident on the fifth hole. Sean, did she mention the incident on the fifth hole?
I did not.
She did not.
I wanted you to tell it, Steve, because it's just so good.
The fifth hole happens to be the hole where Kevin Herr, 2 years ago, it's a par three, it's uphill. Kevin hit it and hit the bridge, the poles on the bridge, and the ball flew back and almost hit Drew Kelly and me. And Mark Mahoney was our fourth at the time. Drew and I covered the lower extremities while Mahoney covered his face. We're still trying to figure out what the strategy was on each part. So we get to that point, and we cross the bridge, and I stop everyone, and I tell the story. Kevin is the first to hit today. He did it again.
He really did. It was spectacular.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it sounded like Gino Malkin hitting the post against the Capitals. Doink. I couldn't believe it. I
mean, but if you had said Kevin bridge, hit the bridge, he couldn't have done it.
And the bridge is not in play.
No.
That's what makes it bad. He is here to defend himself.
It's actually between the men's tees and the women's tees. That's where the bridge is. Let's just to give you some clarification. It's not that far off the tee box.
It goes from the fourth green over to the fifth tee box, over the creek. Now, for some odd reason, he decided not to find it. I don't know why. We parred the hole.
No thanks to Kevin Herr.
And we moved on.
The rest of us parred the hole.
Yes, the rest of us parred the hole.
Well, that's a great save for you guys.
And we dragged Kevin down. It was fine. It all worked out.
And yes, I couldn't believe it. I just told the story.
Uh-huh.
And he banged it off the pole on the bridge again. Now, I will say this. it is one thing to put the ball on the green. I think that was one that we used my shot on that one, and we were just short to the left.
Yes.
Right? It is one thing to do that. Do you know how hard it is to hit the pole and the bridge 2 out of 3 years?
It's way harder. There should be a prize.
Do you know what it takes to do that?
It's not hard for 1/4 of our team.
I mean, I think it's now more impressive when he misses it. I mean, that's hard to do. It's hard to do once, but to do it twice? I mean, that's hard to do. Then I would like to point out the incredible failure of the Chutter today.
Yeah.
Okay? He had no control over that club, which I guess essentially went to all the other clubs in the bag, too. He said, Jen, he hit the pin.
Oh, right? My gosh. Real? Yeah, and the only reason that it isn't in someone's backyard is because it hit the pin.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only reason you didn't put it on the deck back there, because you hit the pin. I mean, all of it's like, yeah, I hit the pin. And you were still furthest away when we were done after you hit the pin. Yes, you were.
Yeah, because I think we actually used yours.
Yeah,
I can't remember that.
Yeah, Dave was inside,
and you tapped
too.
It in. Yeah, Dave and I were both inside.
Yeah, and I was inside of the El Chutteroni here. and he used it 3 times. All three, he hit as if he was trying to somehow drive it to the gap. I mean, so the Chutter was a failure.
Totally.
No touch. He then offered me the use of the Chutter on the last hole that we played. I did point out to him that I am left-handed, something that evidently was not apparent the other 17 holes.
Actually, maybe it would have improved the performance of the Chutter. Maybe you would have used it correctly, left-handed backwards.
No.
No chance.
I can see the concept of it. I can see it. But there are times where I thought he was going to use it and then didn't.
Well, there are a lot of rules with the Chutter. I was surprised about that. I made the mistake of asking. I'm so sorry about that.
We're standing down. I think we're standing on the 7th hole. And she looks over and she says, "No, what are all these rules with the Chutter?" And Dave Ritchie and I walked away.
They did. I mean, well, because Kevin, we were like, we figured he was going to use it because we were, what, like 15 feet off the green or something like that?
Yes,
and
exactly.
You're like, watch, he's going to use the Chutter. And then he doesn't. And I'm like, what are there rules for this thing, Kevin? And then it was like a 20-minute lesson on how to use the Chutter and when to use the Chutter and blah, 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 blah.
Which was terrific, because as he was explaining it, the three of us hit on the 8th hole while he was still standing on the 7th green explaining it. we had a blast. We all got our free golf gloves today, which, Jen, you noticed on mine that they couldn't have given it to me sooner.
I know, right? You should have used it on the first 3 holes. Maybe that explains what was going on there.
Yeah,
no
yes,
grip.
Exactly. I had no grip, and then all of a sudden, then I started hitting the ball after that, because I had a big hole down in the base of my hand with the old glove I was using. And she said, "Well, why didn't you get another?" Jen says, "Why didn't you get another glove?" And I said, "I was waiting for this tournament." Because I knew we were going to get some. But the bottom line, we had a great lunch today. And then Drew stopped by, and great to see him. And, I saw the Sunbury Motors guys. We've seen all the Purdy's. It was great to see Bonnie. Everybody with the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. The number of people that have come up to us And actually, they took the time to thank us for everything that we did and how much they said so many people had come up to them and said that, you know, they'd heard about the tournament through the show. And we've had, you know, this is our fifth straight year being here. It's the first time we've had Jen play in our team, and I hope it is not the last. I hope you're a part of this thing is for many years to come. You were terrific out there today.
It was absolutely my pleasure. I am more than happy to play with you guys anytime.
That's great. Yeah, that was great. I'm glad you had a great time. We're adjacent to the ninth green. It's 151 yards uphill. A wind is about maybe 5 to 7 miles per hour, blowing left to right. And as I look out on the green, it appears to be sparse for this threesome. Well, there's a
thank you, Jim Nance.
There's a yellow ball in the fair. Hello, friends. A tradition unlike any other. The chutter on CBS.
See, Jen, that shouldn't surprise you of Steve giving out the weather conditions with his football broadcast partner, Mr. Ham. We can't get to kickoff we hear conditions.
He was no wonder you were griping about the weather condition and the weather reporting today. He's very opinionated about his weather reporting. Let me just say that.
Well,
Heather Zehr, man.
Heather Zehr and I will have a conversation when I get back to State College. That chip was a bit short. I mean, two words, man up. So we'll have a conversation because there were points where you could take the windshield, you can flip it up on the golf cart. So there are a couple times Jen and I had rain coming in our face, so we'd flip up the windshield. And then I'd take it up again, down again. So it was... And we were told that the heavy stuff's not coming in until this afternoon. That chip goes by about maybe 20 feet. That's going to be a tester coming back for par. I see bogey in their future. I'd like to point out that our team parred this hole.
Yes, we did.
And missed a birdie putt by about, I don't know.
6 inches.
6 inches, maybe?
Yeah.
All right. Now here's our next competitor, Bruce Crampton. And that one's going to fly by approximately 30 feet. And the green won't hold it. It'll be on the back fringe, about a half acre away. Half acre is a one putt, I'd like to point out. Oh, you use the chutter
I just heard
here.
Chutter in the background.
Really? You use the chutter.
Can you ask Kevin to leave the room?
Now, the best-dressed guy happens to be the one that looks like the professional in the group. And he has a chutter. Forget it. He's the worst one of the group. Okay. I'm sure we just picked a bad moment. All right.
And in case no one has said this, I should point out that Steve Jones is not a bad golfer, I must say. You have quite a nice game going there, sir.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
You're very welcome.
I have a lot of fun with it, and you know, when people talk about, you know, what do you do for exercise, for example. Now you do a lot of things. I mean, you know, and you've got what? Your daughter does gymnastics and things like that, right?
Mine?
Along the way.
Are we talking about mine? My daughters are, I got runners in my family.
Runners, yeah, runners.
We got
cross,
runners.
Cross country,
yes.
Track, yeah.
Yeah.
Runners, yeah, in your family. And then, of course, Dave Ritchie was a great athlete, and Kevin was with us today. And so it was, this is how I get my off-season exercise. I mean, you know, because I don't care if you're in a cart or you walk, you still do a lot of walking, and that's been great for me. It's also a game you can play later in life. And I played around with my son the other day. My son Dan came down from New Hampshire, and we were able to get in a round. And I said to him when we were done, I said, you know what's terrific about this is you and I can still play this game 15 years from now because there's no age limit on it. So I really enjoy it. I have a lot of fun. And I thought it was great that your dad brought up your clubs. Oh,
I know.
Slid to the left. It was great your dad brought your clubs up, which was really nice because your family, your dad and your mom both are really good players.
They do. Yes, they are. Well, yes, they're better now, but they get to play 4 days a week because they're retired.
Right.
So
and
this is what I'm looking forward to in my life later.
Yeah, I mean, this is the big thing. I mean, you have an opportunity to play. All right, 20-footer. This will break right to left. It's toward the hole. Oh, it slides by.
We would have sunk that.
Oh, well, you did. I mean,
yeah, we did.
And obviously, this team we will beat on this hole. In fact, I'd like to point out we will crush you on this hole. There's one more competitor, and he's got no shot at it. It's up toward the hole, and it is sliding below the hole. They'll take bogey here and move on. We're now three shots up on them. All right. There are 5 under coming in.
Oh,
the heck
geez.
With them. Well, they're 4. They're 4 under now. Oh wait, they're using a mulligan here. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like the pressure of having somebody announce what you're doing. So can I say right to left breaker?
I don't know. We were all playing, and we're all like radio people, so we do better with an audience.
Draws the club back. Oh, and he slides it below the hole. Well, I believe, how does one spell the word bummer? All right. So, another one vanquished. Jen, we had a great time today. And you are very, I'll tell you, the one area that when she's going to take golf lessons this summer, and Jen, I'll tell you, the one area when Jen gets done with golf lessons and they work a little bit, just a little bit on her short game, she's very good off the tee, she's very good in the fairway, and she's very good with on the greens. Just a little bit of short game, a little chip here and there, and that's about the only thing that's a little flaw you got to work on.
It's non-existent, so anything will be an improvement.
Yeah, but see, what they'll do is they'll change your stance. They'll teach you how to get your hands in front on a chip.
Right.
When you draw back and have your balance leaning forward, and that's what they'll do with you, and you'll see an incredible difference. It's going to be great. Thank you so much for playing in the tournament today. I hope that this works out again for you next year.
Totally my pleasure, Steve. It was a ball.
We had a lot of laughs today, a lot of laughs. And not only that, a great picture on 9 after Kevin sunk the par putt as we walked off the green. Bonnie was taking pictures at the time.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm afraid.
I just spoke for the whole group. All right. So.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Jen. You were awesome today. Thank you.
Thanks a bunch. See you soon.
And Dave Ritchie was great today, too. Dave's got to be one of the 10 nicest guys on the planet. Dave consistently, straight off the tee, did a great job around the greens. Dave's just a natural athlete, and he's just played really, really well. And Kevin had, let's see, Kevin was better off the tee today. Not as good as last year, because last year you got into a groove last year, like the last 5 or 6 weeks, because I made a big deal about how well you were off the tee. You're still big left to right guy. Long irons were good. And, yeah. And then there were a couple of magic moments today, such as, what hole was it? It was the par 5. And I sunk a putt for birdie. And Kevin says, oh, that was a nice putt. You're on the same team. Don't get disgusted that we just did something well. Like, you're like, oh, that's fine. Yeah. And then he gets mad at what irons I use. Don't you? You get mad at what irons I use.
Just the fact that yours is 2 miles higher than mine.
I don't know what hole it was. You used a 4-wood.
Yeah.
Right. And I used a gap wedge.
Yeah.
That bothered you.
Yeah.
You just use whatever is your distance. That's what's great about this game. That's why you have the different tees. For example, when you're talking about, obviously, blues, whites, golds, reds, that allows you to play this sport at any level in your life at any time. I mean, that's what allows you to do it. That's why you have the different tee boxes up there. I was playing at the blue course one time. It was homecoming weekend. This was a year and a half ago. So it was homecoming Friday night. So everybody's at the parade. So I went out to the golf course. I figured it would be wide open. And I'm flying along, and I get through 6, and I catch up to this foursome. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder if they'll let me play through. And then I realize they're playing from the black tees, right, from the tips. And I thought,
I'm not going to embarrass myself and play through these people. These people are legitimate. They can play. I'm not going to do that. But this is a great community get-together where people come together. If you're talking, what, there's, what, 43 foursomes here? So what are you talking about, what, 132 golfers playing here? 132 people plus organizers plus volunteers. So now we're to about 200 people come together as a community for a day to benefit youth programs for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Now, that is what a community does. Do we use the ruse of having a lot of fun and playing golf and a lot of laughs? Sure. I mean, did one guy maybe abuse the beer cart too often? Sure. But he also claims that a chutter around the greens is a solid play. But that's what happens when a community comes together, and that's what makes this event so great. It's what, why I circle on the calendar every year that to be here, that I enjoy it. It's a great time. Yeah, do I leave at 5:30 in the morning to get here? Sure, of course I do, but I want to be here. And that's, you know, and I just like the aspect of what this does for the Valley. Oh, the other thing, I wish, I know Jen has to go off and do news. The one thing I also wanted to point out was that when we got up to the first tee, actually, it may have been the ninth, maybe it was the ninth hole. We're done with the ninth hole. We're going to go over to 10. And we look out here from the balcony here, up and down the entire Valley, and then down toward, what, Shamokin Dam. And you look down there to the south at Shamokin Dam all the way through, and how thoroughly and completely beautiful it is here. Completely. I know we have news at the bottom of the hour coming up. We'll get you up to date on that. Something I want to talk about that's interesting, the number of undrafted players by the NFL and the NBA. Should they be allowed to go back to college? We'll come back with that this day in sports history as we continue. From the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, we have Phillies magnets to hand out here today. We have Phillies WKOK cups to hand out today. Phils won again last night, 1-0. No out. Pitched with Michael Wacha last night. They will go again tonight at Busch Stadium. Then they'll play tomorrow afternoon as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's going to be an important show tomorrow with that Mark Lawrence will have on the topic of concussions. And it's across the board. You are far more susceptible to a second concussion once you have a first one. And this is not just a football issue. There are actually many more concussions in soccer than there are on a football field. And a lot of people don't realize that. So just think, if your youngster is in soccer, I don't care if it's girls or boys soccer, the door is open to the possibility of them getting a concussion. In fact, actually more so in that sport than in football. And so it's something that you should listen to, be aware of, and also find out what the signs happen to be. The Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and I think I can see the Kia dealership in Hummel's Wharf to my left on Routes 11 and 15. Great people. And always great to be associated with them. Time now for this day in sports history. In 1871, the first game of the National Association of Baseball Players was played. Fort Wayne v. Cleveland, 2-0. Imagine if you were to pull those players aside today and walk them into Citizens Bank Park. What would they have thought? What would they have thought seeing that today? 1929, Lou Gehrig hit three consecutive home runs. 1954, the Phillies and the Cardinals set a National League record when they used 42 players in one game. The Phillies won the game 14-10. 1963, under the category, you know, if you didn't get it the second time, why do you keep doing it? Bob Shaw set a record with five balks in a game. Bob, just stop doing it. I move on to something else. 1973, the longest game in the history of the Vet, as the Phillies beat the Braves 5-4 in 20 innings. 1975, Bob Watson of the Astros scored the 1,000,000th run in Major League Baseball history. In 1980, Mike Squires of the White Sox played the position of catcher in the final inning against the Brewers. You're saying, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, he was the first left-handed catcher since 1958. 1984, Dave Kingman hit a fly ball that struck the ceiling of the Metrodome. Chris James of the Indians, a club record in 1991 with nine RBIs in a game. And in 1994, Sir Charles, Chuckalicious, Charles Barkley of the Phoenix Suns scored 56 points, 38 of which came in the first half against the Golden State Warriors. We have a mutual friend. And that mutual friend is trying to get Charles to come up to a Penn State basketball game. And Charles says he wants to do it. So I said, well, great. I said, what day does he want, you know, which game does he want to go to? And he says, he won't commit till the day of the game. I'm like, terrific. Terrific. Well, I'd love to see him. He's a big Penn State football fan, loves Penn State. All right. Great to be with you here to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. This tournament's going to raise between $25,000 and $35,000, somewhere in that neighborhood, when they count everything up. It's been a tremendous success to benefit the youth programs for something that is worthwhile, right? Youth programs at the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. 43 teams teeing off this year, 132 players, and everyone's had a blast here so far. So far, not one person has come up here to our broadcast area and requested if they could possibly borrow someone's chutter. They seem to all be fixated on using legitimate clubs that are approved by the PGA of America. All right, so let's get to one of the prime topics of the day. There were several players that went undrafted in the recent National Football League draft. Guys that declared for the draft early, got agents, and of course, once you get an agent in football or in men's basketball, you're done. But if you notice, as I said, if you get an agent in football and men's basketball, you're done. You notice I only said football and men's basketball. Baseball does not have this rule. You can have an agent. You go through the draft. You then can decide between the draft the first week of June and July 15th every year as to whether you'll sign that contract or go back to your school. That's how it works in baseball. It doesn't work like that in football or in men's basketball. And I think this is an interesting topic. The use of agents, that's the tricky part in all of this. So many in basketball, for example, opt for the draft but don't get an agent. I'll give you an example of two Big Ten players, both from Maryland. Diamond Stone opted to enter the NBA draft. Diamond Stone did get an agent, so Diamond Stone's career is a one-and-done at Maryland. Melo Trimble, the sophomore, soon-to-be junior point guard, also opted for the NBA draft, but did not get an agent. So he can pull his name back once he goes through evaluations as to whether or not, you know, he can make a decision whether or not he still wants to go or if he's going to stay. A lot of people think he's going to stay. baseball, you can have an agent. You can go through the process. You can negotiate with the team. And if you don't really like where you're going with the negotiation, you can go back to school. Okay? The Phillies have a player in Mark Appel. Mark Appel, out of Stanford, was thought to be the number one overall choice in the draft. But I believe his agent, Scott Boras. And teams backed away from that, and he ended up being the ninth overall pick in the draft, going to the Pittsburgh Pirates. He opted not to sign with the Pirates and then played another year at Stanford, to which he went back into the draft again and was the first overall pick by the Houston Astros. And then, of course, he was in the Ken Giles deal that sent him to Philadelphia, along with Velasquez and others. But that's how it works in baseball. In football and in men's basketball, you don't have that. You opt to enter the draft, you get an agent. Look, if you're going to enter the draft, why do you need the agent? You need the agent actually for several reasons. One of them is organizational. You need to be organized about what you're doing. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to go to the combine in Indianapolis. They're going to get a room for you in Indy. You're going to go through the interview process. You're going to work out the whole deal. I need to get myself with a quarterback coach. Hey, we'll set you up with Jordan Palmer. All right, now we're done with that. Okay, we're done with the combine. We got pro day coming up. Well, what do we have surrounding pro day? Okay, we're going to say you're going to work out for the Eagles on the first. You're going to work out for the Cowboys in the eighth. You're going to work out for the Jets. You're going to work out for the Bills. And the agent helps set all this up in the workout process, and then eventually you do get drafted and the agent negotiates the contract. It is not a bad idea for basketball and football players, in my opinion, to have an agent that if they opt for the draft, to help them organizationally to set up the individual workouts, the team workouts, the combines, maybe a coach for them to help them out on the side and so forth, and then make a decision as to whether or not they're going to go back to their school. And I don't care if that decision is made after the draft or not. I think you need to set a deadline. In football, for example, the draft was this past, April 24, 25, 26, or somewhere around there. We're at draft. I think if you give the players until April 30th to make up their mind as to whether they want to do this or not, if they still have eligibility remaining, obviously, give them the deadline April 30th. In other words, give them a full week to decide whether or not they want to go this route or not, because it doesn't affect recruiting. And it shouldn't affect recruiting. And then basketball, make the deadline June 30th. A week, several days. The draft's going to be, June 26, 27, somewhere around there. Give until June 30th. Well, what you'll find is all these guys that made the decision to enter the draft and then don't get drafted, while it's a harsh reality, I don't think it's a bad fallback either. Now, does it put you in a little bit of a recruiting bind? Well, yeah, you declare you have until Thursday after the national championship game to declare for the draft, which happens to be about 3.5 weeks before National Letter of Intent Day. All right, 3 weeks before. So if you got four guys that go, and the coach does have a little bit of a bind, hey, should I hand out these scholarships or not? I think you can get a pretty good gauge on what's going to happen with the draft. When we did our draft preview last week, Sean, what did I say? What round did I say Hackenberg would go in?
It was definitely going to be Friday night for sure.
Yeah, I said he was going to be Friday night and probably would be a second-round pick. And I said he'd be the first Penn State player off the board. He was the second Penn State player off the board. Austin Johnson was the first guy off the board. I said Zettel would probably be 3-6. I said Lucas would probably be 5 or 6. And Nassib would be 3-5. Okay, how did we do? I think we got them all right.
You did, and you narrowed Christian, down between either Bills or Jets. Voila. Jets.
All right. But my point is that you can get a read on guys. And then I remember we had a meeting at Channel 3 because they do videos on the players congratulating them on where they go. And so in the meeting, they said, okay, what do you think? And I said, Kyle Carter will sign as a free agent. Trevor Williams will be a free agent. Terrell Barney will be a free agent. I said, and Angelo Mangiaro would be the other one. Right? I didn't have any one of the four going in the draft that I said that all sign as free agents. So you really can, even as a coach, get a pretty good read on where your players are going to go in this whole thing, which I think then helps you in terms of the recruiting part of it. And I think the door, I think, needs to be open because we can't constantly have the, in my opinion, we can't constantly do this harsh reality. Well, they made that decision, the heck with them. Well, no, it's all right to have options. If the average student, and I'm sitting next to one right now, if an average student is sitting there as a junior and goes through a career day, and they have an offer on the table to go to IBM, and they can decide to take the job at IBM or say, you know what, I want to finish out my schooling, I want to get my degree. What's the difference between that and saying, you know what, I don't really, I'm not too hepped up about how all this turned out. I didn't get drafted. I want to go back to school. I want to play. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because you don't have an astronomical number on each team that opts for the draft. Now, the entire Kentucky team opted for the draft. But John Calipari is absolutely correct. Let the pros tell you what you need to work on. That's all they're doing. Now, they all opted not to have agents. But let the pros tell you. It helped Taylor Battle exponentially. I think people forget Taylor Battle declared for the draft after his junior year. He went, he worked out for Chicago, he worked out for Portland, and he worked out for the Utah Jazz, and there's one other team he worked out for. And he came back with all sorts of information, and it made him a better player because he knew what he had to work on to get to the next level. Now he ended up playing, he's been playing in Italy. But there's nothing wrong with finding out from the pros your pros and cons. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the agent part that people might disagree with me on. But I don't understand why you are allowed to have an agent for baseball and go through that process. And then this process, no. I think you need to have a little more open system as to how you do it. Because the agent's not going to get any money unless you get money. It's kind of like being in digital media. We'll come back with more in a moment. We're at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, home of the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, the 25th edition. We continue with more from the Mobile Sunbury Motors Studio on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Susquehanna Valley Country Club on a Wednesday with a few clouds around, but no rain right now. The Cubs, by the way, lead the Pirates in the ninth inning of their game at PNC Park, looking for the sweep. Cubs have been darn good. There is going to be, by the way, another PED suspension announced soon. I want somebody to understand this, okay? And that is that the players actually do want the tough rules. They're actually pushed a little bit for that, that they want the tougher rules when it comes to this. And I give them credit for thinking that way. And the fact that they want to show everybody, look, our game is clean. I give them a lot of credit for wanting to, you know, prove it to everyone. By the way, Alex Rodriguez is going on the disabled list. We've got the Phillies and the Cardinals coming up tonight. The Pirates are losing right now. And my point on the underclassmen is this. 31% of underclassmen who declared for the NFL draft did not get picked. Now, I realize they make a decision. I realize they've got people around them saying, go ahead, you're ready. Yeah, you go ahead, go. I mean, look at Sean Carey, for example. He turned pro at 19. And now look where he is.
Right where I want to be.
Of it,
that's right.
At the top of his profession. It was a day of long drives, short putts, and a useless chutter. And not necessarily in that order. $25,000 to $35,000 raised today at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. This putt, by the way, will break left to right. Good luck. We're all counting on you.